We worship you, Lord. Come on, just lift your hands. Lift your hands. Let's worship him. Give him everything that's in your heart right now. Father, we love you. We bless you. Jesus, you are worthy, Lord. Worthy of praise, Lord. Worthy of honor, Lord. For you were slain for us, Lord. You were the Lamb, Lord, who was slain for us. We want to thank you, Father, for Jesus this evening. Father, receive the praise and the worship of our hearts, Lord. As incense, Lord, flowing before you. Come on, just lift that praise to him.
We worship you, O Lord. We bless your holy name. Sima manyunduru. Sima manyun sidia.
Bless you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us through Jesus, your Son. Thank you that it's all accomplished, Father. It's all done. It's finished, Lord. Everything has been done, Lord. And we say yes, Lord. Amen, Lord. And Father, tonight, Lord, we receive, Father, through your word, by your spirit, Lord, we receive into our spirit man, Lord. Father, we thank you for insight and wisdom, Lord. We thank you for revelation, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you speak the word of life to us, Lord. And that, Father, we grow internally, Father. And Lord, I release, Lord, spiritual growth, Father, inside, Lord, to the inner man, Lord. That the eyes of our understanding, Lord, might see. That we might see the hope of glory, Lord. That we might understand the call with which you've called us, Father. Lord, we thank you for all your goodness, Lord. For all your truth, Lord. And for everything that you are, Father. We love you and we bless you, Lord. We love you and we bless you, Lord. And we say thank you. Come on, just give him a clap. Just say thank you to him. Father, we bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. Please be seated. A big thanks to Pastor Louis and Tina. I always love to come and see NC, to see all the folks. To bring the word of the Lord. How many of you know me? How many have seen me before? Okay, well, it's nice to see you again. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'd like you to turn to Isaiah and chapter 9. And if my voice is a little bit deep, you'll have to excuse me. I've been preaching and teaching all week, and it's just got lower and lower as the week went on. But I think it sounds good. So I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And we're going to read a few verses from there. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." You see, this passage in Isaiah chapter 9 is a kingdom passage. It's all about the kingdom of God. And it's not just a kingdom passage. It's not just scripture about the kingdom. But it's the passage that we take in the kingdom. If you understand me, it's a journey that it's describing for us as we walk in the kingdom. So it's a wonderful passage of scripture, but the passage itself is a journey. It's a passage that we make from being born and from entering into the kingdom and becoming all that God wants us to be. It's about the kingdom. And your life and my life is about the kingdom. You see, when I travel, and I travel, I have the privilege and honor of traveling all over the world. But especially in the Western world, and of course I mean the UK and America, I hear all sorts of preaching and teaching. And it's wonderful. I find that there's so much out there that is inspirational and motivational. It's wonderful. It does me good. It teaches me things. But one of the things that I think is most important for us, so for instance, I have just heard some teachings about the end time. I've heard about Israel, and I've heard about the dollar, and I've heard various things that's going on in America, that's going on in different countries, and we see all sorts of things going on in the world. And these are all important things to know about. These are all important, so I'm not taking anything away from that. But you know what is the most important thing for each one of us here in the room? It's not the things that are taking place around us, but it's the things that are taking place on the inside of us. It's the things that are going on in the inside of you that is important. Because you see, it's not just that the kingdom's coming, but the kingdom has come to you. You see, Jesus said, the kingdom is at hand, repent. Believe and receive it. And of course, Jesus brought the kingdom with him. He was a kingdom carrier. So he was full of the kingdom. Everywhere he went, he brought the future into the present. That's what he did. So the boys who were fishermen knew nothing about their future, but Jesus came to them and they came to follow him. And when they repented, something happened. Jesus unfolded a brand new future. He brought the future into the present. That's what he did. That's what kingdom people do. And you're a kingdom person. Not just that you go into the kingdom, but the kingdom is on the inside of you. And of course, this kingdom that's on the inside of you, it's a representation of the king in the kingdom. You have the life of the king on the inside of you. You have the character of the king on the inside of you. You have the integrity of the king on the inside of you. You have the authority and the power of the king on the inside of you. So you see, it's not about everything that's going on outside. It's about the things that are actually going on inside. And sometime we've got to grow up and be a kingdom people. A people who are full of the kingdom, who think more about the kingdom of heaven and more about the kingdom of God than we do our own little kingdoms and this American kingdom and UK kingdom and any other kingdom, because we live in another kingdom. And it's called the kingdom of God. Isn't it wonderful? That's what church is all about. Honestly, church, it's not about meetings. Meetings are wonderful, but church is not all about meetings. Church is about the life of God, the kingdom of God. That's what church is all about. So you see, as I go around, I see that there's many people who are full of information, full of lots of information. But you see, when Jesus came, Jesus brought instruction and impartation. You see, he didn't just instruct, but he imparted something as he instructed. And the something that he imparted was life. And that life was not just so that people could know more. It wasn't so that they became professors in theology. It wasn't so that they just had a big head and could recite scripture. It was so that the life of the scripture became their life. So that they also became kingdom carriers. Kingdom carriers. That's what Jesus wants, kingdom carriers. So tonight I want you to know as you go out tonight that you are a kingdom carrier. The question is, do you actually know it? And do you believe that you have got the kingdom of God on the inside of you? This is what it says. It says, for unto us a child is born. And of course this is prophetic of Jesus. So it's a passage about Jesus. Jesus was the child that was born to us. He became the Son, and the Son carried the government on his shoulder. And he became wonderful, mighty, counselor. He was the everlasting one. But there was something about him that was a passage. It wasn't just that Jesus, and please understand me when I say just that, some people think that Jesus, because he's the Son of God, he just kind of turned up and he had everything. Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus was a man just like I'm a man. Jesus grew up in the same way that I've grown up, in the same way that you've grown up. It wasn't all automatic to him. He didn't just kind of think and it happened. Do you understand me? Jesus had a passage to travel through. So Jesus, for instance, in Luke chapter 2, it says that Jesus increased in wisdom. He says that he increased in stature. In other words, if he was increasing, he was growing. He didn't automatically just come to him. You know, he didn't just wake up one day in his crib and go, "That's it, I've got it, I'm the man." It wasn't just downloaded to him, and now he was just going, bang, 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 "I've got power and authority." It wasn't like that at all. Jesus had a passage. He had to grow up into all that the Father had destined him to be and become. Just like you and I, he became like we are in every way. Some of his attributes, so he didn't know everything all at once. He wasn't all powerful. Jesus had learned to be in tune with the Father, be in tune with the Holy Ghost. Jesus had to read the scripture. He had to pray, he had to watch. There were certain things that Jesus had to learn to do, just like you learned to do them. So let's just go to Luke and chapter 2. We'll have a little look in this. Luke chapter 2. Just so that you know, I'm not making it up. Luke chapter 2. And verse 41. And it says his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and saw him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And you all know the story. And Jesus eventually asks them, he says, "Why were you seeking me? Did you not know that I need to be about the Father's business?" You all remember that. Jesus was 12 years old at this point. Many of us who have been in churches and are 60 and 70 and 80 years old have still not asked or responded to this question. Why do you seek me? Well, didn't you know where I'd be? I'd be doing the Father's business. You see, at 12 years old, Jesus had determined that he was about the Father's business. That's an incredible thing for a 12-year-old boy. But you understand that all the time as Jesus was growing up, he was watching. He was observing. He was watching his mum and dad. He was observing his family. When they went to the temple, Jesus went to the temple. When they went to the synagogue, Jesus went to the synagogue. When they prayed, he watched them to see them pray. When they talked together, he was watching them in fellowship. You understand me? These things are called disciplines. Does everybody know about disciplines? You see, the Western church doesn't know very much about disciplines because we have kind of become a little bit, what's the word? We like things that are aesthetically pleasing. We like to be comfortable. We like everything to be just so, and when it's just so, then we might receive it. You understand me? There's something about the Western mindset and the way that we're attuned that makes everything we want it to be comfortable. And let's face it, it's nice when it's comfortable. But actually, somehow, the disciplines of life, of real life, has kind of left us a little bit. So now we go to church, and I'm not saying you, because I'm sure that this is not true here. But many people go to church and they're just hearing the word. And every week they go to listen to the word and they say, "Thank you, Pastor. That was wonderful." But nothing ever changes. And that's because people are not attuned to disciplines. Disciplines, such things as prayer, such things as giving, such things as fellowship, of sharing together. These are all disciplines of life, of reading the Word. Now, what happens is that as we make a habit of doing these things, and this is the hard bit, as we make a habit of doing these things bring to us life. You understand me? So it's not just that we're doing things, it's that these things that we do, because they are disciplines that God has placed for us, they actually bring to us life. So we receive life through the disciplines. So eventually this is what happens. We no longer feel that we have to do these things like we once had to do them. Now, because we've received them inside us, they become our life. So now no one has to tell me to pray because I automatically pray. No one has to tell me to go to prayer because I'm praying. No one has to tell me to go to church because I can't help myself. I love to be in church. No one has to tell me to read the Word because I've learned how to read the Word, and I realize that when I read the Word, God speaks to me. So these disciplines become life. So we're no longer doing things because we have to do them, but because we know no other. We love to do this stuff. We love to be together. Isn't it right? You see, I know that you were probably the hungriest of the congregation because you're here on Wednesday evening. Now, obviously, some people won't have got here because of the rain and the nasty weather and everything like that. But I know, looking at you, you're the ones that actually are determined to come and get something from God. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Wednesday and Thursday nights are always like that everywhere. And you find out because you see the same people coming to these things week in and week out, and you just know that these people are determined to receive something from God. And it's not something that they have to do, it's something that they want to do. I want to be there. So I believe you're that kind of people tonight, which is good. Do you agree? Amen. Amen. I agree. I think it's true. So you see, these disciplines then bring to us life. And there's something about this passage that happens in the kingdom. You see, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Well, of course, I mean, I remember when my children were born, and it's like, how do you describe when your children are born? It's just a most incredible moment, isn't it? And your heart just fills with joy. You weep, you dance, you laugh, you do everything all at the same time. And like me, when my first son was born, well, my only son was born, 22 years ago, I was there right with my wife all the time, and I thought it was wonderful. And then when I got home, I just went to sleep for 8 hours. I was absolutely done in. I shared every moment with her apart from the pain. I really did. But it was wonderful when my son was born and when my two daughters were born. Absolutely tremendous. But I want to tell you that as I've watched my children grow up, even today, I spent some time just with the Lord as I was going through this, just with the Lord, thanking him for my children. Not just my natural children, but my spiritual children as well. Just thanking him for. Because there's something about a child. Oh, yeah, it's so wonderful to see a child born. So wonderful to have a child. But there's something about your children as they grow up. And they begin to live a life that when you look at it, you think, my Lord, you have done a miracle in their lives. They are better than me in every way. They shine. They're full of integrity. They're full of love. And I just look at them and I think, my sons and daughters have grown up. And they carry something with them. They carry something of me. They carry something of the mum. And I am just so proud of them in a right way. You understand me? I'm just so proud of them. You know, I used to stand at the door of the bedroom and watch them as they slept and just cry. Anyone done that? I just cried over my children. Now, I think about them in what they're doing, and I still cry. But I am so proud of them because they've grown up. And somehow they carry something that has been something that I've longed for and desired all my life. But they just carry it. They just walk in it. And I look at them and I'm so proud of them. There's something about this passage of growing up. And you see, the church, and when I say in the Western world, I don't just mean in the Western world. I mean, I go all over the world. But somehow in the Western world, it seems that our growing up has been hindered and it's been stopped. I don't know what it is that does that, but it's nearly like we become so comfortable that we forget what it's all about. And really, it's not just that you were saved, but it's that you're saved to become something and someone more. Not that he doesn't just love you right now as you are, because he does. He loves you just as you are right now. But when he looks at you, he sees, sir, all the gift, all the ability, all the potential, everything that he has put inside you. He looks at your mind and sees the 100% that you can become. That's what he does. And it's not that he doesn't love you just as you are, because of course he does. He loves us all just as we are, but he knows that you can become something more. He loves you as you are, but he knows you can become something more. And in fact, you will become something more whether you like it or not. Truly. And I often talk about it like this. The kingdom. You see, this thing that we call a kingdom, it really is another kingdom. It really does have a king. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus is not just mine and your savior. He's not just our master, but he's actually the king of a kingdom that is more real, if you could say it like that. It's more powerful and more life in it than anything you've ever seen in this world. He is actually the king of a real kingdom. And in the kingdom, there are people who are just as real, in fact, more real than me and you. And when I say more real, I mean that they have more life. They have more power, more authority. They glow more. And there's more glory about them. You understand me? So when I say that they're more real, I mean that actually tangible life within them is greater than that which we now understand. Jesus is the king of a kingdom. And this kingdom has authority and power in it. It's not like any kingdom on the earth that you've ever seen. And everything that you could learn of a kingdom, you would do well to learn. Because whatever looks like a kingdom, a proper kingdom on the earth, a real kingdom, whatever looks like that on the earth, the one that Jesus is king of is even far greater and more wonderful than anything you could possibly imagine. And it says in Revelation, it says that there are elders who take off the crowns and fall before him. Well, when you've got a crown on, it means that you're crowned to be part of this kingdom. You see, this kingdom has authority. It has order. It has establishment. There's something about this kingdom that when you come before Jesus, of course, you will come with love. Of course, you will come and give him your all. You will bow down. But I'll tell you, it will be a reverent bowing down. You will meet the king of the greatest kingdom ever. And you will fall on your face and worship him. You see, somehow, we like to make Jesus in our image. But actually, Jesus made us in his image. And we're becoming more like he is. We're not trying to make him more like we are. And you see, this is a kingdom passage. So we're on a journey into this kingdom. And this kingdom's on a journey in us. It's doing something in us. It's making us someone different. It's bringing to us some life and characteristics of Jesus. You know, when we talk about Jesus and we say, we make these words faithfulness. Jesus is faithfulness. He's not the word, he is faithfulness. When Jesus says he's going to do something, Jesus does it. His yes is yes and his no is no. He's faithful all the way through. Faithfulness is manifest and tangible in him. You understand me? When we talk about trust, Jesus is trust. These words that we have, this is who Jesus is. And this is the life that he is that flows to us by his Spirit and through his word. And it's not just so that we can receive this word and go, ooh, I feel so blessed. Ooh, I feel the anointing. It's not so that we can feel those feelings. It's so that the life of that word flows into us by the Spirit. And we go, Jesus, I want to be more like you. I want that kind of faithfulness. I want that kind of trust in me. I want to love like you love. When we talk about selfless faith means that we're giving ourselves for one another and for another in love. That's what it means. To give yourself for another in love. That's the kingdom principle number one. All kingdom life is based on that principle. There is no one upstairs who is selfish. No one. No one is thinking about themselves. This is the place that you're going. This is the place that I'm going. No one thinks about self. They are taken up with Jesus. They are wanting to do his will and his desire. Oh, they love him. And because he's given their life for them, they are giving their life for him. All the time, continually. You understand this cross at the back here? This cross is the kind of love that God is. All the time. This cross. They don't need this cross in heaven. Because they know and see who God is in heaven. They know that every minute, every millisecond of every day, and there must be time in heaven, because it says for half an hour there was silence. Ooh, think about that. But there must be, you see, in heaven they know who Jesus is, they know who the Father is, and they know what love is. Every minute, every millisecond, they feel the love of God flowing to them. And every millisecond, he's going, I love you. I'm for you. I'm with you. And I want you to know my love. They know it upstairs. But God decided that he wanted all earth to know his love. So he thrust the cross into the earth and said, this is my love. This is what it looks like. It's not some kind of emotion. It's not some kind of nice feeling. It's the selfless kind of giving. Never ends. Always giving to you and to me. That's what love looks like. That's what love is. Love in your marriage looks like that. Oh yeah, you want the nice feelings and you want the romance and you want the affection. And you want these wonderful things and these feelings of love. You want it all. So do I. But guess what? This is real love. You see, those feelings come when two people decide that they are going to be selfless towards one another. That's when it happens. Those feelings come when your husband, when your wife gives of their self to you selflessly. That's what love is. And those feelings come to you when that happens. So you see, you might be saying to your husband, well, I want you to be more romantic. I want you to be more affectionate. And husband might be saying likewise. Might be saying all sorts of things. But actually, none of those things can happen without you give your life for one another. Without you think of one another before you think of yourself. It cannot happen. You understand that? Because that's what love is. That is what the kingdom is. So of course this passage that we're walking through, it's also that everything that Jesus is becomes something that we are becoming. These words that you say amen to and I say amen to, it's so that they become something on the inside of us. You understand that? Does everyone understand that? We're becoming something every day. The question is, what is it we're becoming? What are you becoming? Are you more becoming? Are you more becoming? Or how do people see you? What is it that you're giving to people? You see, Jesus, he made this passage in his life, and it says there in Luke 2, doesn't it? Let's just have a look at it so you know that I'm not kidding you. It says here, it says, verse 51, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. This is just after he's 12 years old. But this word subject, well, of course, the king has subjects. Every king has got subjects. And where is subjects? Well, you see, if you don't know what it means to be in subjection to him, it's going to be a hard day, that day you come to the pearly gates. Please understand me. Oh, of course, you come into the pearly gates. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord's saved. He says that. He promises every single person who calls on the name of the Lord is saved. They're all going. He doesn't want any to perish. He'll do anything to get people in there. But believe me, when you get there, you enter into another kingdom. And this kingdom is ruled and reigned over by a king who has all dominion, and we are his subjects. But if you don't know what it means to be in subjection, then you're going to find it difficult. You see, and what I find out in the Western church is that we sing the song. We are good at singing the songs. We're good at saying the words. We're good at doing all these things that give an outward sign. But internally, we're not so good. Because when someone says something to us that we don't like, you know what we do? We find a back door and we go to another church just down the corner. A pastor said to me just the other day, he said, do you know what, Paul? That the life of a believer in a church in America, at the maximum, is 3 years. In other words, believers go to a church, they stay there for 3 years, and that's it, they go to another church. Now, that's okay if Jesus says go to another church. But you see, I think actually that Jesus wants to create families. He wants to create communities. He wants to create places where people come together and find one another, who love on one another, who take care of each other, who look after each other, who share together, who pray for one another. Don't you think it's like that? Because that's how it's going to be up there. But you see, what happens with us is we hear a word or someone offends us a little bit and we find the nearest door and off we go to another church. Do you know that actually could be the curse of America? It could very well be the curse of America. And of course, I know that you all call that freedom. I know that. But I don't believe that Jesus does call it freedom. I think Jesus calls most of that rebellion. Honestly, I don't need to upset you. Please, I love you. I'm here because I love you. But somewhere, at some point, we have to hear these things because it's serious where we're going. And it's serious what Jesus is doing on the inside of us. Don't you agree? I'm glad. The doors are locked. We're not going anywhere. But you see, listen to this now. In Hebrews, this is what it says. In Hebrews chapter 12, now remember, we've been talking about disciplines. Oops. I forgot to go there. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says there, and let's have a look from verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostilities from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the discipline of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure discipline, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Now listen, that passage says, for unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. So Jesus was born as a child, but he became a son. A son is someone who holds the head up high and who knows his father. It's not that he knows the word, but he knows the one who is the word. You understand me? It's not just that he knows the scripture, but he knows in an intimate way the one who is the scripture, the one who is the life of all scripture. He's become a son to him. And a son is different to a child. And of course, we all know that we're the children of God. And that's a wonderful thing. And how wonderful that his love is lavished upon us as his children. We know that and we're thankful and grateful. But you see, upstairs, the Father and Jesus are looking downstairs and they're going, we want to see some sons. We want to see some daughters. Some people who have learned disciplines that have become their life. Some people who have learned to walk in such a way that they have got stature. They're not just talking about the scripture, but the scripture is in them and has become life to them. And now they carry something of the Father's life on the inside of them. That's what a son is. And of course, the scripture says we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Of course, that's true. The question is, do you experience the truth of that scripture? In other words, do you know that you're a son? Because a son carries authority. A son has power. Please understand what I'm saying now. One thing is knowing the scripture. Another thing is knowing the scripture so that you know that you know that you know it. And it's become who you are. So I never doubt that I'm a son. I don't doubt that I'm a son. I know that I'm a son because certain things have happened in my life that I just know I'm a son. I'm not a child anymore. I'll always be his child. You know, like I look at my youngest girl, she's always going to be my baby. It doesn't matter when she's 30 years old, she's still going to be my baby, but she's going to be a grown-up baby, if you know what I mean. Do you get what I mean? She's always going to be my child. All my children are going to be my childs. Not my childs. My children. But of course, they're all going to grow up and become something and hold something and carry something of the life that they've received. And that's a wonderful thing. So you say, it's about knowing it inside yourself. And what I find in many places, and just generally, as I kind of scope out the church and look over the church, I find that there's so much information, there's so much revelation, there's so much instruction, but there's very little life. There's very little life. You see, this is what people say to me. They say, well, I read this Kenneth Hagin book, and I got it. And I say, okay, well, you might have read it. You might have read the words, but until you do it and become it, you ain't got it. You understand me? Other people say, well, I read this Wimber book. I read this book. I read this book. I read Smith Wigglesworth, and yes, Smithy. Whoa. I've read it, and I'm the man. I want to tell you, until you become it, you're not the man. That's the truth of it. You're not the man. You're not the woman until you become it, until you do it, until it's yours. Then you can say that. You understand me? Many people can read this book. The Pharisees and scribes read the scripture, but they had no life in them. They had nothing to give anybody. And you see, this passage of scripture says that Jesus, he became a son on whom he carried authority. He carried government. Oh yeah, there's government upstairs. Whoa. There's government upstairs. And it's better than any government that you ever saw. But you see, government, of course, you know, the president, it's the office that he has, isn't it? It's the office of the president. He has all power. Well, he thinks he does. But the president has all power. He's got the office. And of course, Jesus has got all power and authority. He has got all power and authority. But there is a government that's there. There is order that's there. Now, you see, can you imagine just what it looks like up in heaven? Can you imagine what this kingdom looks like? This is not some little playground. It's not some Sunday school. It's not some worldly kingdom. This is the real deal. This is the real thing. This is where you're going. It's where I'm going. Somehow, we have to get ready to go there. It's not about church on Sunday. It's not about praying your prayers and doing your thing, although it is about all those things, but it's actually about becoming the life that he is. So that when you get to those pearly gates and they open wide, someone doesn't come up to you and say, actually, you know what? We've been watching you downstairs and we see that you've been to 42 churches during your lifetime. And you realize that when you walked out at the back of the door of every one of those churches, you had an issue. And it was called rebellion. And because you've not sorted that rebellion and that lawlessness out, well, we've got a class just for you. Come in the back. Because you see, please listen to me. I know this is just my pictures. But I want you to understand that when you go into this place called the kingdom of heaven, when you meet that full on, there will be glory and light as you have never, or I have never, ever experienced before. And if you cannot see with the eyes of your understanding here on the earth, you will be blind upstairs. You will not see and not be able to see where you are going. You won't be allowed to go some places. You understand that? You just won't be allowed because it'll be too great for you to cope with. You see, there's many situations that here on the earth, this is what happened with the disciples. Are we okay? We're okay. Everyone okay? No one going to stone me? Hallelujah. This is what happened with the disciples, okay? Jesus came down to the earth and he brought heaven with him. He brought the present into the future. He brought the future into the present and said, boys, you're going to be apostles. Whoo! And they all went, whoa, did you hear that? Whoa! I'm going to be an apostle. And then Peter looked at Thomas and the other boys and went, what is an apostle? I have no idea what he's talking about, but somewhere inside it sounded fantastic. And I'm up for that, Jesus. I'm up for following you. And that's how it was. We've seen the Messiah. We're following him. It's going to be wonderful. Yeah, little did they know. Jesus was going to take them on a kingdom passage. 3.5 years, that's all they got. How many years have you had? 3.5 years they got. Jesus said, come on, follow me. And he took them on this little passage where actually they began to learn some things about the kingdom. They had to cling on to his heels. Jesus didn't stop for anybody. He was just going all the time. I'm about the Father's business. This is what we're doing today. Come on, boys, this is where we're going. Thomas, go and do this. Simon, go and do that. You, John, go and do this. He was telling them what to do, where to go, what they should do. They were sat down listening to him. They were getting instruction. They were receiving impartation. Through those years, this is what happened. They learned the things that Jesus is. So Jesus is a servant. Isn't he? Jesus is the greatest servant that ever came to the earth. That's what he is, the greatest servant. He came to serve the Father, serve the kingdom. That's what he did. And he's our example. So he taught us what servanthood is. The boys who were going to be the apostles, the big men, the big chief, did they have to serve? Oh yeah, they had to serve. Everything he said, they had to be obedient. They had to just do it. Oh yeah, but I don't like it. Okay, see you later. Are you going to go as well? That's what Jesus said, didn't he? John 6, verse 66. Are you going as well? See you later. That's what he said. He didn't mess about. He's going someplace. He's in the kingdom. He's doing something in people's lives. So he brought him on this passage. And suddenly, you remember this in John 15. It says that Jesus called his disciples together and he said, I no longer call you servants. Now you're my friends. What had happened? Well, they'd learned what it means to serve in the kingdom. They'd been watching Jesus. They'd been watching him. Do you remember? It says in Luke 8 that Jesus went out everywhere, teaching and preaching and healing the sick and delivering demons. And they were all watching him and they were going, Jesus, that's fabulous. Wow, that's amazing, Jesus. They watched him all through chapter 8. Chapter 9 comes and Jesus says, boys, 12 of you come here. Okay, this is what we're going to do, lads. What you just saw me do, everything that you have seen in me and heard from me, you're going. Who? Us? Yeah, you. You've had a chapter on your bike. 2 by 2, do exactly what you saw me do, every city and town that you come to. Oh yeah, but we don't like that. We didn't come to church for that. We don't like that. Well, tough. Tough. You see, these boys that were following Jesus, they were on a passage, on a journey. Going somewhere. Becoming something for now, but becoming something for then. They were on a journey. And they learned servanthood. And as they learned servanthood, you see, they trusted Jesus. But Jesus had to be able to entrust them. And the only way that he could entrust them was when he saw how they served him. If they were obedient to his word. You see, because lots of people say this, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you. And Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commands. Jesus doesn't look at your outward offering of love when you say, I love you, Jesus. He's not impressed with that. Jesus is impressed with your obedience. That's what shows him that you love him. So, of course, they went through this servanthood, and he says, now I can entrust you, now you're my friends, I can share deeper things with you. And that's what he began to do, share kingdom things with them. And then they went from friendship, so servanthood, friendship. What happened? They became sons. You remember that Jesus said, and Thomas asked him, he said, show us the Father, we want to see the Father. And Jesus said, actually, are you so slow that you don't know that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Do you get that? You see, because the Son carried the life of the Father. So Jesus was the express image of his dad. So what he really did with these disciples was bring them through a process of growth, and he brought them from being servants, he was a master, they were the servants, to being sons to a father. That's what he did. That 3.5 years, that's when they grew up. And on the 3.5 years, of course, Pentecost came along. 3.5 years, the Spirit of God was poured out on all flesh. But these guys, they were ready for the power of God externally. Because the power of God internally had transformed them. You understand that? The power of God internally had transformed them. So now they were ready for power externally. But you see, we think as a church, and of course I don't want to take anything away from what we've received from the Lord. I'm not here to do that. But I just want you to raise your sights a little bit. Because you see, we think if we speak in tongues, that's the fullness of the Spirit. But I want to tell you what the fullness of the Spirit is. The fullness of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. That's the fullness of the Spirit on the inside, because that's what he's like. And outside, it's been empowered with all the tools that you could possibly need. So internally, you have the life of God, and externally, you have the gifts of God. So you're empowered internally and externally, and everybody knows it. Now, that's a great thing. That's what Jesus was doing. He was going around full of the Spirit, and the Spirit was on him, but he also had all these gifts, all these tools to be able to use wherever he went. You see, because he became just like me and you in order to show us how we could be. Isn't that wonderful? That means, sir, that you can be just like Jesus was and is. Huh? Maybe not right now, because he's getting bigger all the time. Jesus is getting bigger and more wonderful all the time. But that's another story. He is, honestly. He's going to fill all things in all ways in the end. His glory is going to be huge. He's going to rule and reign over the universe in all his power and authority. And nothing will get away from him or escape him. You understand me? And even if it seems to do right now, it's only because he's given a little bit of leeway. But hey, he's the king. And you see, this says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government's upon his shoulder. You know what the government's like? It's nothing like the government of the world. It looks nothing like the authority of the world. It's nothing like that whatsoever. I want to tell you, and the Lord's allowed me to do this. I've been going to various nations for a long, long time. And one of the nations that I went to, and I still go to often, and I managed somehow, and it's because of the Lord. There's no other reason for it. But somehow I managed to sit with the president and the prime minister and all the cabinet, and I had to talk with them and pray with them and do all sorts of things. It's incredible. I don't understand it. But hey, that's what God decided. But one day, I said to my friend, Harry Carty, he looks after thousands of people, honestly, thousands of people, and I just serve him in any way that I can. But he looks after thousands of people in this country called Nepal. And I have no idea how many believers that is. It's huge, and it's just mind-boggling to me. But anyway, Harry, one day I go up, and I'm doing this conference for all the leaders there, and I said to Harry, I need to see the president today. And Harry just went, okay, Paul, we're going to see the president. So I had a few people with me. I think I had a couple of guys with me at that time, and Harry's there, and we go to the president's house. And at the president's house, of course, you can imagine what the situation is. There's all these military people there, all got guns. There's gates around the presidential house. I can't actually see into the backyard, you call it, but it was his front yard, okay? His front yard. I couldn't see in there because the gates were locked. And there was one military man on the gate. And I came up to the gate, and this is what I said. It just came out of my mouth. I said, I want to tell you that I need to see the president of Nepal. I have a very important message from the God of all gods and the King of all kings, and I am an ambassador of the Most High God, and I want to see him this morning. And the man looked at me, and he ran away. He ran. Honestly, he just ran away. And I didn't realize, but he ran into the palace to talk to the president. And he came back, and he looked at me again, and he said, who did you say you were? And I said, I'm an ambassador of the Most High God, and he sent me with a message for the president, and I want to see him now. And he ran away again. And he came back. This time he came back. He opened a gate, and inside there was probably about 100 people under a marquee all waiting to see the president. And I went, I'm not going to wait to see the president. I can't wait. I've got things to do. So I said, I'm going to sit at the front of this queue. And the man, who's Nepalese, didn't understand English, took me straight at the front of the queue and sat me there, waiting at the front of the queue. He then went into the president's office, and he called me in the next time. The very next 5 minutes I was in there. But while I was sat there, I suddenly thought, Lord, you told me to come see the president, but I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. Which is a bit worrying when you don't know what you're going to talk about. And while I sat there, straight away a verse came to me, John 3, verse 14. And you remember it's the one where Moses lifted a snake up on the pole. You remember that? And I thought, okay, Lord, I have no idea what that is about. But, well, of course, I know theologically what it's about. But I have no idea why I should tell that to the president. But anyway, I'm ready. So by the time I'd got that and thought about it, I'm in the president's office. The president's there, a few bodyguards around. And there are angels everywhere. And I mean, not ones that I could see, but you could just tell they were there. Oh, it was wonderful. And the president came up and he said, I'm terribly sorry. And I know that it's very, very important, this message that you have for me. But I've only got 5 minutes. 40 minutes later, I'm still with the president in his office. In which time, the Lord had given me various messages to speak to him about the terrorists that were terrorizing Nepal. At the same time, he told me that his family situation was that they were both doctors. Him and his wife were both professional doctors. But his daughter was sick and ill. Now I understood John 3 and verse 14. Because you see, that's the medical sign, isn't it? It's the sign that you see on your medical office. The snake lifted up on a pole. So then I understood, okay, Jesus, I know why you've got me here. I'm going to pray for this man, for all his family, for his daughter, and you're going to heal him and you're going to do great things. And I tell you now, the president gets in touch with me. Really? But why am I telling you this? It's not because I need to tell you. I haven't told people these stories for a long, long time. But I'm telling them because it's time that we understood that the kingdom of God is completely different to the kingdom of the earth. The authority that is in the kingdom of God is completely different to the authority that's in the earth. It looks different, it tastes different, it is different, it's powerful. And somehow the church doesn't yet understand how powerful it is. But you see, that's what you're part of. That's the kind of power and authority that lives on the inside of you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of you. So should you drop down dead now, you'll be raised up this very moment. That's the same power that's on the inside of you and me. But somehow, you see, we think about these things and we know them, but we don't really believe them. But it's time to believe them and to walk in them and to look in them. Someone said to me the other day, they said, Paul, he said, I just don't know where God is in this situation. And immediately the Lord spoke to me and said, tell her to get up and look in the mirror. That's where God is. Looking right back at you. He's in you. The hope of glory is in you. Don't be waiting for him to fall on you. Don't be waiting for him to do all sorts of different things. Jesus has done everything. He lives on the inside of you. He is the hope of glory. You have got power and authority. Now you have to begin to walk in the ways of the kingdom, not the ways of this world. In the ways of the kingdom. It means you have to serve. It means you have to become an entrusted servant. It means things like faithfulness, stewardship. Some of these big words. It means authority and submission. It means real love. It means selflessness. This is what the kingdom of God's all about. And this is the same kingdom that lives on the inside of you and me. This is the kingdom that you represent. This is the kingdom that you carry. This is the kingdom that God has brought to the earth, and it's in you. You see, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Upon his shoulders will be the government. And then it says, and his name will be called. You see, something happens. Do you ever think about this? Saul became Paul, and Simon became Peter. There was something about the name change. You see, Simon means thrown to and fro by the wind. It means a man of unstable mind. But Jesus looked at him and said, you know what? The anointing is going to transform you internally and make you into a small rock. You are going to be solid and reliable. You're going to be firm. You're going to be built foundationally. You're going to be established. You're a living stone. You see, in those 3.5 years, the anointing, which was the word that Jesus was speaking, changed him internally. The anointing is on the inside of you. It's there primarily to teach you all things. So you don't need me to teach you, but you see, there are teachers in the body, but you've got the teaching on the inside of you. So you know some of the things that I said tonight, you don't need to ask God, you just know it's true. You just know that some of those things are true. And where you know the true, you need to say, yes, Lord, I want that. I want to be like that. You need to receive it. You see, because on the inside, there's a little amen that comes up inside you. That's what happens. So when Pastor Caton or some other pastor's preaching and you go, amen, that's the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. The next thing that needs to happen is for you yourself to think about what you just amened. How does that affect your life? What's it going to mean to you? What's the cost of it? Well, what's it going to take to make that word life in you? Not just a word that you said amen to, but a life, a word that becomes what you said amen to. You understand me? That's the passage, kingdom passage that we're going on. But you see, it says his name will be called. Jesus received a name above all other names. And you see, of course, Jesus had all things before. But in order to have all authority over all the universe and all the earth and all the peoples of the earth, he had to give himself on the earth. That's when he got authority in Philippians 2, chapter 2 and verse 9, you remember what it says? It says, therefore let this mind be in you that's in Christ, who counted it not, he didn't count it robbery to be equal with God. You understand me? He gave himself up. He became a bondservant. He didn't bother about his reputation. He had a great reputation. He was famous in heaven. He had status everywhere. People had bowed before him in heaven. But he came to earth and he gave it all up. You see, the problem is that too many people want status. They want fame. They want something. They want a platform. They want a position. They want some power. But I want to tell you, until you've given it away, you'll not get anything in the kingdom. You're not going to get a bean in the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God's different to the kingdom of the earth. So you see, Saul became Paul and Simon became Peter. There was a change. Something happened on the inside. And it's not the change. Can I just say, if anyone wonders, because I've had this question, why does it say on my book, Paul Graham? It says, I've written a book and it says Paul Graham at the front. My name is Paul Graham Hubbard. But the Lord said to me one day, he said, Paul, I want you to know that these names were given to you for a real reason. Paul after the Apostle Paul and Graham after Billy Graham. Two men who affected their generations. And he said, I want you to become all that your name means. So you see, I decided, you see the Hubbard bit, it's like Simon Peter Jonas. You don't know Simon Peter Jonas as Simon Peter Jonas. You know him as Simon Peter or Peter. That's how you know him, isn't it? You see, even though his last name was Jonas, but anyway, that's all beyond the point. It's not the change of the name that means anything. It's what you're becoming that means something. Who you are becoming. You see, this is what it says. Let's just read it to finish with. Because I don't want to take you too long, but is everyone all right? Is anyone receiving anything tonight? Is anyone getting an impartation or something? Because you see, somewhere in this region, in this region of Ohio, there's got to be a people that's different. There's got to be a people that's a kingdom people. I don't mean that there's not wonderful people everywhere. I don't mean that there's not wonderful Christians and wonderful churches. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we need a kingdom people. A people that are taken up with Jesus. A people who are carrying the life of the kingdom. A people who are more kingdom minded than they are earthly minded. That doesn't mean to say they're floating around like nutters. What I mean is that they've got the mind for Jesus. And they're about his will. Okay. Let's just read this. It says, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. This is what happens, you see, on this journey. Somehow, inside yourself, it's not just that you know you become a son, but it's that you carry government. It's like the government sits on your shoulder. And you know that when you say a word, and it's a God word, something happens in people's hearts. Just like that boy that ran away. He knew it's a God word. I'm not going to argue with a God word. He knew something was coming from heaven. You see, you've got to know that that's what you carry. It's life, real true life. And it says that Jesus was wonderful. Well, you've got to become wonderful. Of course, I know that you are wonderful, but you've got to know that you are wonderful. You've got to know that when you sit down with someone, that you are counseling them with life. You see, Jesus was the counselor. It meant they could sit down and communicate with someone. It meant they could talk with them. It meant that somehow he got into their level, into their world, and began to communicate with them where they were at, and somehow brought them from the place that they were into a new place. That's what it meant. He counseled them into life. Can you do that? That's what you're meant to be able to do. You're meant to be able to sit down with someone and say, Father, I want to carry your life and give your life to this person now. And I want to bring them from where they are to another place. I want to bring a solution to the problem. I don't just want to tell them about the problem. I don't just want to tell them about the mess that we're in. I want to give them a solution. I want to bring an answer to them. Because you are the answer. Don't say, look at Jesus. No, Jesus is saying, look at them. They carry the answer. They've got life. That's what the anointing is. Give them joy. Give them beauty. You give them something. You can only give them something if you've got it yourself. You can't give them it otherwise. You say, Mighty God, Jesus knew that this power inside of him, he was mighty. Once some timid little person, Christian, said to me, "Well, I'm just timid. I'm just timid." No, no, the lion of the tribe of Judah lives on the inside of you. You're not timid. There's a lion on the inside of you waiting to roar. There's a lion waiting to do something on the inside of you. Mighty God, Prince of Peace. You see, because sons become princes in the kingdom. That's what I want to be. I want to be a prince in the kingdom. I want to be a prince. You understand me? When we get up there, I want to be a prince. I want to have some responsibility. Huh? Don't you? Oh, some people just want to float on a cloud. But hey, I tell you, we won't be floating on clouds. There's work to be done, things to be seen, places to go. Man, this whole universe been made for me and you. Huh? Whoa, that's where we're going. Isn't it wonderful? And it says there, just to finish, of the increase of his government. So in other words, there's an increase of government. There's an increase of establishment, of order, of authority, of peace. Of these words, these big words, there's an increase on the inside. It's not just out there, it's in us. The increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. Judgment and justice, proper judgment. Not condemnation. I'm not talking about condemnation. Jesus never condemned anyone. Jesus looked to everybody and he knew that he wanted to bring them from one place to another place. Always into life, into salvation. That's what Jesus knew. The question is, this journey, are you on it? You might be coming to church. You might come to every service and say amen. The question is, this journey, are you on it? Because it's this journey that's important. You can get the information. You can buy all the tapes. You can buy all the things that are going around America, all the revelation, all the information, all the instruction. You can get it all. But if you are not changed and becoming more like Jesus, it means nothing. It means nothing. Life is what Jesus came to give you, and life more abundantly. He didn't come to give you just knowledge. He came to give you life and peace and good things. He came to bring you something from a different realm that changes your life and my life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I got into a sweat, but I don't care. I'll sweat for Jesus anytime. Really. Can I just say as well, and there is a book that I've written, and I want to tell you, some people may not find it an easy book to read because it's about these things. But I'm not making any excuses. I don't make any apologies. It's the kingdom that I represent. I don't represent a certain church. I don't represent a certain people, even though I have a church and I know many people. But it's the kingdom that I represent. It's the kingdom message that needs to get out. It's the kingdom that needs to be released in us. We need to carry the kingdom. We need to be kingdom people. If you want to be a kingdom person, I want to tell you, get hold of that book. You'll read it again and again and again, and it'll still speak to you about more things. Just get it. It's out there at the back. You can get it. So, I want us to stand, please. Could we stand? I want us to pray together. Father, I want to thank you. Come on, just lift your hands with me. Father, I want to thank you for this people, Lord. I want to thank you for this house, Lord. This house of God, Father. I want to thank you for every person that came tonight, Lord. Adults and children, Father. Everyone that you brought into this house, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for your love to us, Lord. That you have saved us, Lord. That we're your kids, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you that you are our Savior. And Lord, you're our Master. But Lord, you're also the King of the kingdom. And the kingdom has come into our lives and our hearts, Father. And perhaps we've not seen it for what it really is, Lord. But Father, I'm asking, Lord, that you would take away the clouds from our eyes, Lord. And unblock our ears, Jesus. That we could really hear and see the kingdom of God, Lord. And Father, I ask, Lord, that in this house, Lord, there would be a kingdom people, Lord. A people who are all out for you, Jesus. Lord, who carry your life, who carry your peace, your authority, Lord, who carry joy, Lord, who carry justice and judgment, Father, who were ordered and established, Jesus, who, Father, have reconciled themselves to some of these difficult words, Lord, these heavy words, Lord, that have caused us concern in the past. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would heal anyone that has been abused or misused by these words, Lord, by the word of submission or authority, Father, or covering, Lord. Father, that there would be healed hearts in this house, Lord. That even now, Lord, you would bring healing to hurting hearts, Lord, and that they would give away that offense, Lord, and that pain, that hurt, Lord. Just give it away right now. If that's you, you can be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, restore us, Lord. You're the restorer of all things, Lord. But Lord, more than restoring buildings, Lord, more than restoring the external things, you're restoring internal things, Lord. You're restoring us, Jesus. Restore us, Father. And Father, let the kingdom run through us, flow through us, Lord. Just put your hands on your stomach right now. This is your inner man. This is your inner man. Speak to your inner man and say, you will be strong. You will be a kingdom man. You'll be full of the Holy Ghost. You'll become more and more like Jesus. I determine to know you, Jesus. I determine to choose to follow you, Lord. I want to do your will. I want to be a sign and a wonder. I don't want to do signs and wonders, Lord. I want to be a sign and a wonder. And who does them as well? Yes. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you for your word to us, Lord, your truth, Lord. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that I've said anything at all, Father, that is not pleasing to you, Lord, that does not please your hearing, Father. I ask, Lord, that it would be taken away. But Father, everything that I have said that represents you, Lord, everything that you are happy about, Lord, and pleased about, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that the Holy Ghost, Lord, would seal it on the inside, Father. That the Holy Ghost, Father, would confirm the truth, Lord. And that these people, Lord, your people, would grow up, Lord, into all that you have got for them, Lord. A kingdom people, Lord, on the earth, Father. I thank you so much for them, Father. I bless them tonight, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, Father. I bless every household that is represented here, Father, and those that are not, Father. I lay a blessing on them in the name of Jesus, Father. I say, let the peace of God be upon them, Father. Every household, Father, let the prosperity of Jesus be upon them and flowing through them, Father. Let the promises of God be amen in them, Father. And all your provision, Father, flow to them, Father, richly, in the wonderful and mighty, the great name of Jesus. And they all said, amen.